This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW for today. Today, I'll be speaking to us briefly on the reality of the Spirit. The reality of the Spirit. You see, you can listen to 1,000 YouTube videos, listen to 1,000 sermons, watch all the greats of the gospel talk about the Holy Ghost. But when you encounter the reality of the Spirit, it leaves you dumbfounded. It leaves you in a place of understanding where you no longer have to be arguing doctrine with anybody. Where many people, it's a question of, are you an initiate? Do you know it or don't you know it? I thought I knew the Holy Ghost years ago, and then I discovered that I really didn't know much. I mean, we've been in university for the past 3 days. Today is the final day of the convention, and the things I've seen in the last 3 days eclipsed everything I've ever seen before. The dimensions of the Holy Ghost cannot be, there is nobody that has a total understanding of full comprehension and absolute control or knowledge of all his dimensions. And people who write about it on paper and talk about it in sermons, most of them really didn't know much. I'm not joking. Oh my, I've been drunk in the Spirit, so don't mind me this morning. It has been awesome. It has been beautiful. The power of the Holy Spirit is so real, so tangible, so contagious. And when we yield to Him, the things it does with us. Many people assume, especially from Africa, that the Holy Ghost is just there so that it can help you heal the sick, raise the dead, work in miracle, so that when you pray, God can answer you because He will add a little tongue to your request. Nobody can define the Holy Spirit. I've tried from short of words the things He does. I see the things He do. Someone must sing that something. See, we see the things He's doing. But the things we see are not the fullness of what He is doing. There are things He is doing with us internally. Internally, inside, that even we cannot explain, understand, or share. You see? Things He is doing with us inside. Not only inside our body. I mean inside our life, inside our destiny, inside our pathway, that we have not even gotten there yet. But just by being in His presence, you know, yesterday, when we had a short break, I was with my mom and my relatives who were just talking in my office, and people just kept coming and they wanted to see me, and I was trying to dodge. So I'm like, let me catch my breath, let me, because when we go for ministrations, I try not to minister. I try not to. I try to bring all of us into a place where we minister to the Lord, and then where the Lord ministers to us. To so those who had known how, so if I come to your church to minister, of course I will minister. I'm coming to your church. If I go anywhere all over the world to minister, I will minister. Lay hands, heal the sick and all that. But when we come to Pneuma City is a city where the Lord we minister to the Lord and the Lord ministers to us. So I try not to like start jumping up, laying hands, writing sermons, and then trying to preach. No, I avoid trying to step on the turf of the Lord. In fact, I also pay to come to our meetings because I also come to be blessed. So many people wonder, okay, so how then do you do your services? When we preach, we do not have order of program. I'm a coordinator with the HOMs. We always sit down, we will coordinate how we will make the human aspect of it sensible. And then we will leave the supernatural aspect of it. We will not touch it. I will not touch it. I will not say, oh, then we will call 3 people. We will not call 4 people. Okay, this is the person that will, never. I've never done it from day one. I do not know how any program will go because I don't want to be the one determining for the Holy Spirit how services should go. I'll just leave it to him. Service will start sometimes. I'll still be in the office. I'll hear people praying in tongues. Next thing, power of the Holy Spirit is moving. By the time I will peep in, the whole atmosphere will have turned. I'll just go in and be blessed. It is better because the journey ahead of me is far and I cannot do it by my own strength. And when I come to the place where I'm supposed to be replenished, I do not want to dispense. And that has always been the format. So anybody that watches our services online will see how extremely different it is from the normal services that people say, oh, power pack, supernatural, tepete. Half of those who are shouting supernatural don't even know where supernatural is. It's not in your sermon, man. It is in his presence. His presence is heaven. So this person, they insisted they wanted to sing. I was like, oh my God. Eventually, the only person in the world that can force me to sing people came in and that just forced me. Eventually, I had to come in. But when they came in, so typically, when people want to see you, they will come with issues. Oh, I read it. Oh, there's this sickness. Oh, there's this cancer. Oh, there's this business, whatever. Oh, there's this relationship issue. The typical thing, people come to a supernatural or a religious or spiritual meetings to try and decode. The first person came in and the person said, ha, wow, God has changed my life. The person began to share testimony after testimony after testimony. Normally, I would then say that I'm supposed to say, when they came to see me, they had a problem. I prayed for them, and then their problem was solved. I didn't even know of this thing. I had no idea. But God has resolved all the issues, you see. And then they just came to say thank you. First person, that was it. Years back, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when people say they want to see me, I'll be telling them after that, we just finished your service. Don't you have faith? We just finished praying. We just shouted. All of us just shouted, amen, amen. We just finished. We just finished now. Why? After service, you are saying, I want to see pastor. Then you come and see me again. And then when you come and see me, you tell me, you begin to cry. You begin to say, what? We just finished praying. And you are making me pray for you personally all over again. And that thing is a terrible thing. Yes, people don't know. It's a terrible thing. You will have spent hours on the altar. You will have ministered. You are tired. And then people will see. Sometimes you have a queue of 50. And they want to talk to only you. Like, do you want to kill that person? But I know that they too have things that are paining them in their hearts, and they didn't have any other person to go to. So they have to say, you want to see Pastor, you want to see Pastor. Some of them will queue. And so sometimes after you finish service, like 12 in the afternoon, you see the counseling till like 3 or 4 p.m. Only you. So I devise the means. Whenever we go to minister, I will go with many ministers. So I would then say, okay, after service, those who want to meet to minister to them, Joe will be the one to minister to them. Then, you know what people do? Once they see that I'm available to counsel people, they see other ministers. All of them will come and insist that it is me they wanted to see. I didn't like that. I was like, ah, you wanted to somebody to pray for you. What gave you the assurance or the audacity to think that it is only by being God that can solve your problem or that can pray with you? These are ministers that are firebrands that the Lord has raised. But because you see, you assume that I'm the popular name. So again, I realized that that formula was not working the way I wanted it to work. So when Pneuma City was opened, I began to talk to the Lord about it. I also want to come to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be recharged. I do not want to come here and having to dodge people. You know, you have the office, you have two doors, one that lead to the church, one that lead outside, so that you can run away from the other door. I used to be a P. I've seen many pastors who have done because they know that people will not cease and desist. I learned that from a lawyer, cease and desist. But yesterday, there was testimony after testimony. All those who wanted to see me, none of them came see me. Ah, thunder, lightning, enemy is chasing me, enemy is choking me, evil spirit. When I sleep, I'm eating my mind. No. What the spirit has done that has transformed their lives. They came to see Magenga. See, I didn't share this with you, but see what God has done. See what God has done. See what God has done. One after the other. One after the other. Maybe there was only one person, and the person is relatively new. So I understand for those who come for meetings that are relatively maybe their first time, or yeah, mostly their first or second time, who are still used to the old way in which you go to church after service, you'll still be chasing pastor up and down. Maybe only one or two people came to say, okay, I wanted to pray with you on this matter. But majority, if you see the way my heart began to dance, because it has brought me to the point where I'm beginning to share in the fulfillment of the word of God for others that I had no idea of the struggle. You understand? When you didn't pray for somebody, and yet the person deemed it fit to come and share testimony with you, at the end of the day, the person will not tell you thank you, but you know you didn't lay hand, or you didn't lay leg, or you didn't give a boot. You are just going by your own. And then they call you to say, see what the Lord has done. They're calling you to say, come and see what the Lord has done. The Lord did it. And he did it for them directly. Not through a medium, not through a channel. He did it because they experienced the fullness of the pleasure of the presence of God. That is awesome. I've never seen anything that I can describe as greater than that. That somebody will come into a meeting with a challenge, and in Neva City, We do not do, oh, pray, raise your voice and say, Father, do this for me. We never do it. And the reason we never do it is because I explained earlier, we did not gather together to come and make God do, to come and turn God into do something for me, God. We are not serving a God of the gaps. We minister to the Lord. We minister to the Lord. Most of what we do, sincerely. I don't know how to explain. If I explain it now, some people who do not, I'm not explaining it again. If I try to explain it, you will misunderstand me. There's no way you will not. Because I cannot really explain what you do. We start a service, we sing, the Holy Spirit begins to move, and then the order of the service is structured out by the Spirit in such a manner that practically He ministers through everybody. Like yesterday, there are like seven people that went into a trance, and whenever any one of them is tired and comes out of the trance, another person within the assembly will go. It's like the one is stepping out and the other is stepping in. And I was watching it so that consistently we had the seven. Meanwhile, the seven are not, so we cannot say, oh, these are the seven prophets of the ministry. No, like, once one is tired and the person begins to come out of the barrier, you just see another person stepping into it. You just see another person say, ah! And then the person will step into the barrier. Then one comes out, one comes in, one comes out, one comes in. I was watching, I was like, wow. Because, yes, and if I try to explain to you now, I'm confused. So let me stop trying to talk about the Sabbath. Let's just stay with the things that I can talk about within a safe zone. The reality of the Spirit. It fights and gives you victory even when you didn't know there is a battle. It goes ahead of you. It changes your understanding of life and reality. It changes the people that the people around you. You know, it practically would reorder your life. You have one friend, is that 30, 40 years, all of you have been together, or 20 years, or 15 years, and then you begin to walk in the reality of the Spirit, and suddenly it seems as if the two of you, your language no longer matches. Now, both of you are Christians, but you have come to know the higher life. So you begin to speak as He speaks. You begin to see as He sees. You begin to hear as He hears. But the other person is still listening to Pastor now. So, that one will come with pastor's thought, pastor's conviction, pastor's this, pastor's that. But you are coming with fresh bread from the Spirit, in your spirit. So the two of you will now have, and I'll be like, when I talk to him, I don't understand how he talks now, or what he does now, or how he does it. You know, I'll be like, oh no, this is the, but that's how my pastor talks. I remember years ago, I met a lady. Both of us are good Christians. She attends a very good Pentecostal church in Lagos, and I respect my pastor a lot. So we were talking, and then she said, oh, when I want to get married, there's one prophet that, unless that prophet says, this man is good for you, I can never marry the person. I said, oh, you are attending this church. I think the church is Pentecostal, born again, full of the Holy Spirit. You're also full of the Holy Spirit. Is this prophet you're talking about, is he your father, like your personal father? Did he give back to you? He said, no. I said, so why? I said, he's the only man of God that I know that can give you accurate prophecy regarding your future. I said, wow. So you're attending a church and your pastor there cannot give you counsel. You, as a born-again Christian, you do not hear from God. So you have to take the person to one prophet somewhere whose church you don't attend, but who you believe is the only prophet of God that can see for you. He said, yes. I said, I pity the man that will marry you. Pity. I'm crying for the man that will marry me. He said, why? I said, because you don't know God. This is not Christianity. This is paganism. This is what they do. My great grandmother, who wasn't a Christian, whenever she wants to take a decision, she will stand up from her house and go visit one oracle somewhere and begin to listen to divination. I said, you guys have just turned your prophets and pastors into diviners. That has never been the intention of the Holy Spirit from day one. In the Old Testament, people can go to see Samuel, they can go to see Agar, they can go to see Nathan, but in the New Testament, the Spirit of God is in us. You are not equipped so that you can be useless. Once you are equipped by the Spirit, the equipment of the Spirit makes you useful for the use of the Spirit. Of course, after that, we are no longer friends. You see, because my understanding of the reality of the Holy Ghost and our understanding of the reality of the Holy Spirit are different. And both of us are attending what we call, is it Pentecostal churches? Churches where the Spirit of God is moving and we believe in the Holy Ghost. And yet, our understanding of the reality of the Spirit was so different. Fundamentally different. The Holy Spirit is a doing spirit. It's not a docile spirit that dwells in you so that your eyes are still blind, so that your mind is still numb, so that you cannot be inspired by Him. You have to be inspired by another person. Then the Holy Spirit inside of you, how come you can say, I'm full of the Holy Spirit? You can say, I speak in tongues. And yet, what does it do for you? Is it fashion? Oh, I saw two pastors once that held the microphones and one was speaking tongues. They are doing tongue competition. They wanted to hear the one that has the members of the church today. Hey, this one will do giddy, 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 giddy. Members of the church will say, hey. I was like, these people are just jokers in the church. And people said that they are doing tongue, and the people are like, wow, they wanted to hear the. This is not, you know, when you give glory to children, you ask them to manage it. They most often mismanage it. The Holy Spirit is so beautiful. You see, if you ever see, I cannot stop talking about it. I think in the whole world, and I say this without any apology, I think in the whole world, maybe I've seen the Holy Spirit move like He moves with us in videos of kinetic meetings, in which, because I watched those meetings so much years ago, where the Spirit is just moving. Kinetic will sit down. Members, all of them will just be, in quotes, drunk, and the behavior, if you watch it in video 1 million times, you can never understand it. Some will be laughing, some will be dancing, some will be rolling on the floor, some will be, and all these guys are white, and they're like, ah. Why people are supposed to be logical? What are they doing? You know, I used to ask a lot of questions. I'm like, this is confusing. What are they doing? Who is doing this thing? Like eight of them can be dancing in unison, and their step will not change. They'll move to the right, they move to the left, they move to the right, they move to the left. And then while they are doing that, another person is running around the church up and down. Then while they are doing that, another person is sitting and jumping. I'm like, what kind of service in the I never I didn't disparage I didn't disparage or feel as if it was the Spirit of God. I was just like, was it that they told them before service that this is what you will do, this is what you will do? Because of course, where I was coming from, how can you have one service? As I said, the service was broken into 20 groups, and all the 20 groups were doing separate things in one service, listen to the same music, or just sometimes people will tell the church to be quiet, and in that silence they will just begin to break out. I'll be like, hey. And I read all these books. He could not, he tried, but he couldn't describe it as well as when you see it yourself. He couldn't. He tried. You know, he would talk about it. He would try to explain in 1933 something that happened in 1939 when he was in a meeting. He would try to describe all that. But you see, there's no, there, no words. When the glory comes, having no words to say, no words. That there is no one that can have the correct vocabulary to describe to anyone the fullness of the dimensions and the reality of the Spirit. I'm just happy that in my lifetime, but when I'm yet young and can still run about and can still move, that I can witness, I can sit down and say that I have seen the things you do. I have seen the things he does. I know he has much more, but at least I can see that it is not the normal, come here, tap anointing, touch me, touch me. Oh, that one is not, it's not, I'm not invalidating them. I'm just saying they are not the fullness. If I have to touch you to receive you, I am not receiving the fullness. I'm receiving what I have received from you. I am not receiving, I'm not being ministered to by the Lord. And as I minister to him, he also desires to minister to me. So I've seen, I just noted that when we come, like I said, all of us will register. I also register. I register everybody that goes with me. I do not, we do not, we ensure that we do not burden anybody. When we do our meetings, we do not collect offering. We do not, because I do not want to be motivated by anything else, except that I'm going to New York City to meet with the Lord, to get drunk in his presence. And I want every other person that comes with the same. So some people will come, you know, with the religious mindset, oh, they are doing the mass city, let me go there. I will go and pray my life problem out, you know. Most of them are saying, no, no, no. There are other camps. There are other camps where you can go to go and do that. You see, in Nima City, we come, we minister, and then he ministers to us. And then you know what he does? He begins to reorder. So I might want to be like, maybe I want to pay my rent. And I say, Father, give my rent. So that's why you went to church, to pay for rent, right? And then by the time I get home, the landlord will have parked my load outside. And then I'll be like, ah, what is happening? And then as the load is coming out, somebody will come and say, oh, I have a house. The Lord said, I will give you a house. I'm not kidding. These are testimonies that I still heard yesterday. And somebody that was due to pay rent that couldn't raise the money, that just came to minister to the Lord, go back home, and got gifted a 4-bedroom bungalow. By a friend that was relocating, the friend said, I wanted to sell it, I put it on the market, and they were pricing it 20 million, 25 million. And I said, what kind of money is that? I know how much I labor to build this house. And then as I was praying to the Lord, that Lord, what do I do? The Lord said, go and give the kid so and so and the papers. He or she, I don't want to, is the owner of this house, giving. And so the friend came and gave the house. And this person came to me and said, I became a house owner. But imagine what he was praying for. Rent, rent. I said, I told you, there is a way the Spirit of God will order us our lives. Where we minister unto him, he ministers also to us. I see the things he does, and I'm marveled by them. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare that it is well with you. That the reality of the Holy Spirit is alive in you, and that you do not see him through another person. I declare that you see him yourself. You know him for yourself. And all the wonders he does, you experience them fully in him. Thank you, Father, for this is the reality that you are working in. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.